Hey, it's Felger here. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Teams are knocking on the door of the conference finals, and DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason heats up. It's super easy to get started with DraftKings if you're a first-timer. Try betting on something simple like your team to win. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, select your team, and place your first bet. It's that simple. And if you're new to DraftKings, just check this out. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You have to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code SPORTSHUB. Again, new customers get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5 only on DraftKings. The crown is yours, and you must use code SPORTSHUB to get in on the action.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketballterms.
B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Got a tweet from a pilot.
This is good. We need this today.
They got windows up front, but yeah. There's a problem.
What?
He said, we do have windows up front, but they won't open when pressurized.
Correct.
The plane is pressurized. They can't open them.
Because we land when we go to the Super Bowls as a team, and they open those windows. They take the Patriot flag, and they wave it out.
That's right.
So those things do slide open.
Yeah, but that obviously you open those up at any sort of altitude, you know, things could start getting sucked out the window. But that's sort of the goal here. Maybe aligns exactly some old paint cans up right near the window. Let those be the items.
Right.
They get sucked out the window.
Yeah.
As this pilot said, lucky Milton.
Jesus.
Those windows don't open. 617-779-0985. We get some calls on the Patriots. Also, your Milton calls if you want those as well. Tim's in Walpole. What's up, Tim?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Thanks for coming in today on a bad day.
No problem.
Hey, I've been listening to you guys talking about Brady being upset and, you know, not happy. And I agree with you guys. You know, his body language, the whole thing. And maybe he has a little bit of legitimate, but I don't know how you build a team around a 42-year-old quarterback. But my take is...
Yeah, it's awful.
Easy. If he's good, why can't you build around a 42-year-old quarterback for a couple of years?
Because he'll be 43, 44. You can't do
what
that.
What should the Saints do? Like, Breeze is 40. I mean, they better get out of there. Yeah.
Yeah. It's all the
Peyton didn't win in Denver. What, 25?
Here's my take. Jerry Jones looks like he's going to have a stroke if the Dallas loses a third straight game. Do you think, end of the season, he fires Garrett, bring McDaniels and Brady to Dallas for a year, give Brady the money he wants, he'll have all the tools around him, and now we'll see how good Brady. That opens the door for Prescott. Bring him to the Patriots and game on with the Patriots. I'm going to hang up and listen to you guys.
Okay, thanks, Tim. I don't think that even if Dak Prescott were available, or any quarterback.
I don't want to pay him $30 million.
If anyone became a free agent, like a good quarterback becomes available.
Yeah.
Do you think Bill Belichick wants to pay a quarterback $35 million a year?
He's not going to do that and say that's a priority right there. He's going to do it through defense. He'd do that through an edge rusher or a corner. You know?
I don't think he wants to spend the resources. But even aside from that, do you think he would prefer an established quarterback? And I would put Dak in that category. He's about to be a free agent.
Proof that he could come in here and run this system. Right?
Okay, sure. Now, I'm just in a vacuum, okay?
Yeah, okay, but I'm looking at it from
someone
a
that does
system,
fit them.
That's what Bills run.
Let's say it's someone that in theory can run that system and can fit this team and is in his late 20s.
Okay.
Or 30. Say 30 years old for the sake of the conversation. That's going to cost you money. Do you think that he would want that guy? But let's assume the money
is like a Kirk Cousins type guy.
Right. Would it even matter if the money, let's say the money was not a factor either? Does he want that guy or does he want to draft and develop his own guy?
He wants to develop his own guy.
I would totally agree.
He wants to do what he did with Tom.
Yes. And maybe he's trying to do what Jared Stidham right now.
He inherited Bledsoe. Look at what he went through in Cleveland. The quarterbacks he inherited there. He likes to pick his guy.
And I also think he enjoys coaching young players because they're
sure.
impressionable. And you can get them to sort of follow coaching. And you don't have issues where that quarterback comes back to the sideline and starts tossing his helmet right. and bitching at receivers. That doesn't happen with young guys because the coach will say, knock it off. And those players... are more likely to listen.
He likes these SEC quarterbacks. I mean, you look at, you know, even going back to Mallett, he played in the SEC at Arkansas. You go to, you know, obviously Stidham at Auburn. Go back before him, you know, another kid they bring in from LSU. You know, they've done it with Rohan Davey before. I mean, there's guys that played in the SEC and playing big games that he likes. That's why he liked Andrews. He didn't win a draft and brought him in, but Jesus, this kid's played in every big game at Georgia. You know, four SEC championship games. You're not going to get flustered. You know, we go on the road and you're playing in front of all this noise. You know, these guys do it every. That's why there's going to be value on guys like Fromm and Burroughs when they come out. So
let's go to Raj, who's in West Roxbury. Hey, Raj, what's up?
Hey, when you guys are talking about the slide, I was listening to somebody on the radio yesterday who apparently lives across the street from where the slide landed. And she said that flight probably was a Delta flight that goes to Paris. And she said supposedly they didn't realize the slide had fallen off until mechanical crews did the inspection after the flight landed. So I don't know if it was when it landed here or in Paris, but that's what they were talking about yesterday.
That'd be something.
You imagine that? They didn't even know.
What's the name of that river in Paris? Champs-Élysées, right? No, right down there.
No, that's a street.
Oh, whatever it is.
Hey, Beetle, do you get keep the slide if it falls in your backyard?
It was a Delta plane.
For the kids.
The Delta plane was coming from Paris, landing at Logan.
I'd get a compressor out and pump that sumbitch up and say, hey, let's have a good time.
You're like, hey, dude.
Get a garden hose and some Dawn liquid detergent and let's get all soapy and have some fun. Slip and slide.
I would expect the slide to be yellow, but in the photos it looks like it's silver, like a gray color.
Oh, yeah. That's
it always like shows yellow on
common,
all the little videos.
Common
that you have
misconception.
To watch.
Is absolutely, it? Yes.
They're not yellow, huh?
No, reflective silver.
Really?
What do I know?
It is. It's gray. It's gray. It's a gray slide. It's not yellow.
What if it's not of this world? They're trying to tell you this is like that guy out at Roswell that found that piece. You know?
Well, I'm going to tell you.
They're trying to tell you it's like a weather balloon or a slide, and that's really like, wow, this thing fell, and it's not from this world.
I'm going to tell you something, Zoe. You may be onto something.
What was his name? Marcel?
No.
Does that mean the body of the guy from North Carolina wasn't really from North Carolina?
No, that was really
him. No, that was really him. Maybe
there's like a Milton Triangle thing. Like, remember that Bridgewater Triangle? We talked about this.
Yeah, it's still a thing.
Phenomenon around
there.
Maybe there's something going on in Milton.
You're onto something, though. The search for extraterrestrials has moved from looking for, you know, little green men talking to each other to items like this one. In fact, one of the biggest projects right now is looking for odd shapes that appear in front of distant planets or stars, and what they think it could be are advanced civilizations using what are akin to solar sails, putting big things up into the atmosphere in orbit around their planets to collect energy from stars. And they say this will be a way of determining whether or not there's any intelligent life out there. This, to me, could be some form of an alien solar sail that dropped down to Earth.
I'm down the rabbit hole of Milton's complaints about airplanes, including a letter to the CEO of JetBlue.
Milton seems like a real stupid city to live in.
I like Milton.
They're writing to JetBlue because you are one of the many airlines operating.
What do you think they're supposed to do? We'll change the flight pattern. We'll fly through Dorchester instead. Sorry.
They do. They fly through everywhere around there.
No,
operating pre-2014 Airbus A320 series aircraft.
Fly
As you may know,
the
A320, which includes all Airbus aircraft versions, has a known design flaw that increases the amount of noise that the aircraft generates. In study after study, repeated exposure to aircraft noise has been shown to have a negative effect on people on the ground by disrupting everything from sleep to everyday life.
Oh, people don't like it?
In addition to the overall health and work performance impairments caused by inadequate sleep, continued exposure to airplane noise has been linked to high blood pressure and heart problems in adults. You buying that, Hardy?
That there
including
are certain
premature death from heart disease. From airplane noise?
Yeah, stress and lack of sleep.
Oh, my God. The airplanes are killing the people in Milton. The airplanes are killing them. The planes are literally killing them by flying over their homes. Oh, man. That is painful. 617-779-0985. Zoe has looked at Kansas City on tape. Haven't you, Zoe?
Yes, I have.
Zoe's early impressions of Kansas City on this Tuesday, coming up next.
Second and goal to go from the two. Allen motions left to right, then reverses direction. Brady under center. A give to Burkhead. Runs it left for the win! Touchdown, Patriots! And they're bound for Super Bowl 53!
What a call, Sosi. We're going back, baby. And there ain't nothing you can do about it. America's worst nightmare is back. We're going to our fourth Super Bowl in 5 years. Pack your bags. Start our buses. We're coming home, Boston. Oh, my God. Can't believe it. It's not their year, right? It just might be. It just might be.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful.
Zoe's been doing his research on Kansas City. We'll get to that. Just want to let you know that you need to help Felger and Maz. Help Felger and Maz and 98.5 The Sports Hub as they help Christmas in the City.
How you do that?
Christmas in the City gives Christmas gifts to thousands of Boston children that are currently homeless. Felger and Maz are out this week. They're collecting toys and money. Thursday, December 5th. That is this coming Thursday, 2 days from now. They will be at the Seaport Hotel. It's Felger and Maz doing their show live from 2 p.m. until 6:30 prior to the annual wreath auction that is taking place. Saturday, December 7th, they'll be in Newbury Comics at the Natick Mall. Felger and Maz will do a meet and greet from 1 to 3 p.m. as they collect toys and money to support Christmas in the City. You can also bid on great items right now in the online auction at our website, 98.5thesportshub.com. That auction closes Friday, this coming Friday at 6 p.m. You can help Felger and Maz and Christmas in the City make a difference for thousands of children this holiday season. Again, that auction is up. And all these details at 98.5thesportshub.com. So what do you got on the Chiefs? What are you seeing on tape?
A lot of team speed on offense. And that's a scary thing because, you know, you just face a team that has decent speed. When I say decent speed, you watch these guys run. Tyreek Hill is basically the guy that has carried them when Matt Moore was in, when Patrick got hurt, and he was out for a while. The big thing with Hill that we looked at, you know, stuff in the past, you know, he could get deep, he could get vertical. We saw that, right? And we saw it here at the home game when they hit him downfield and basically Daron Harmon had an angle on him, and just it doesn't even matter. Hill's catching more of the quick stuff, the underneath stuff, those drags, you know, the stuff that, like, Sanu dropped this past week. And he's taking those, and he's taking them in, you know, for 60, 65-yard touchdowns. They drafted a guy by the name of Hardman. He's a rookie out of Georgia. He was drafted in anticipation of Tyreek Hill being suspended. So he's the same type of player. So, in essence, they have the ability to put those two guys on the field at the same time, and they do it opposite each other. So you say, okay, well, then we'll take our two best guys and put it on them. Okay, well, what are you going to do with Sammy Watkins? And we talked about the tight end. Tight end's not a tight end. He's a receiver because he hasn't hit anybody. He's not physical. But he runs really good routes, and he can catch the ball. And Mahomes has a great rapport with Kelsey. So, I mean, you line up. Okay, there we go. We got those two fast guys. Now, all of a sudden, we got Watkins. He's usually the motion guy when they do all that cross motion and return motion. Kelsey's usually off the line because you can't jam him, right? We don't want to touch him. You know, he needs that extra room to get open. And then you get all them bottled up, and they got a new guy by the name of LeSean McCoy. And we've seen McCoy before. When he was in Philly, more importantly, when he was in Buffalo, and he is perfect for this offense when you watch it on film. Because they'll slip screen him backside. They'll get flow going with three guys going one way. And you see the whole defense on tape run that way. And next thing you know, Mahomes does that half roll, like Brady did down at the goal line. But holy crap, LeSean McCoy's backside waiting for a screen with two linemen in front of him. And it's just Katie barred the door. You're in. He walked in. They're going to be tough to cover. So I think the biggest thing here is if you have difficulty covering him, even though defense is better this year, you got to keep the ball away from him, which means you got to run the football this week. We've been talking about it for weeks, right? This gets back to being a Brady-type game where you got to put him in the best position, a game-manager-type game, to get him in the right run checks. It's a big Burkhead Sony Michel game for me. This really is. I know we saw James White, you know, last week. Everybody went, well, let's get him the ball more, get him the ball more. Yeah, but you ran the ball well against this team with Burkhead and Michel. And I think there's some of that institutional knowledge from last year. Now, you know, Honey Badger's there. They got some guys on defense. They're not the same on defense, though, in front. I look at this front and I think, okay, maybe it's the front you can push around a little bit and run the ball with, which means control the clock, run the ball, play action. You hit play action passes last week. But McCoy really helps them because everybody's going to be talking about everybody else. But McCoy could be the difference in this game for them.
You say it could be a big Michel game, and we talked about Sony Michel on Sunday and how the Patriots got away from him.
He played well against Dallas 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah, he's had, I think,
best game, I think, in his career here.
Now, some of it's become rather predictable. When Sony Michel's on the field, they hand it off to him. Like we saw in this game the other night, he was on the field for 15 snaps. He got a handoff on 10 of them. It's a lot of touches.
Yeah.
So there's a predictability element to the Patriots'
offense.
Same last year,
80% of the time, he's touching the ball when he's in the game. Same exact thing.
Yeah, it's based on his usage. So there's also a story on the Ringer today about Sony Michel that the Patriots... Mm-hmm. The headline, the Patriots just laid their December egg. What does that teach us about the team? And it has this info in the story as well. New England's running game has fallen off significantly, and Sony Michel's strange decline has been a big part of that drop-off, they write. Among the 33 backs with at least 100 carries this season, only David Montgomery and Devontae Freeman have averaged fewer yards after contact than Sony Michel. Sony Michel's yards after contact is at 2.33 yards.
He's never been a great yard after contact guy. He was running hard to contact in the preseason early this year. But then you get chucking the ball over the place, and then he sits for four series. What are you going to do?
Okay, well, he's one of the worst in the league at this. He gets hit and he goes down. I mean, compared to other backs, compared to his peers. And
yeah, I like Devontae Freeman too.
It says by Pro Football Focus's elusive rating, which measures the back's ability to force missed tackles, only 36-year-old Frank Gore has been worse. The ability to force a missed tackle. That means with your contact or how you approach another defender. He has been bad at yards after contact. He's been bad at forcing a missed tackle. It says Michelle has looked far less dynamic after undergoing knee surgery in June. That's what the Ringer has in terms of the numbers on Sony Michel. Those are some bad rankings for him. Yards after contact and the ability to force a missed
tackle.
It's
like looking at a receiver with yards after catch, right? You look at Edelman this year. Not a ton of yards after catch, but he makes big catches. You know, could Sony make big runs without, you know, really running guys over and making that first guy miss after contact? That's what they need to figure out. They need to run the ball this week. You need to keep the ball away from Kansas City.
At least this, I think that Michel has been better in recent weeks, and I don't understand why they got away from him on Sunday night. Four carries on the opening drive, three more the rest of the first half, and then three in the second half.
I don't think they believe in their offensive line.
15 snaps total for Sony Michel. That's disappointing. They should have used him more. They needed him more in that game. They were afraid to because they have no confidence in running the ball. Some of that stems from the injuries they've had on the offensive line. Some of it comes from just not making good decisions in the play calling. They need him more now, not less. That's all I would say.
It's tough for me or probably any of us to wrap our heads around because, you know, we see it in the context of, oh, that opening drive, and look how effective he is running the ball. Why not do that more in the game? The team and the coaches, they have the ability to see it all week, and they know that, okay, that's fine and good, and it's going to help us on that first drive, but something about it, and whether it's what you said, Zoe, about not having confidence in the offensive line or just knowing that, you know, this is the exception, not the rule. What puzzles me, though, is that when it has happened in the past with other guys, and here we are just a couple weeks past the five-year anniversary of Jonas Gray and his four touchdowns against the Colts, when Jonas Gray was lighting up a team, they just stuck with him. You know, you said it on the call that day, Zoe. Don't even throw it. Just give it to Gray. Right? He's the only one doing anything today. So why wouldn't they or why don't they do that with Michel, especially on Sunday night when he's the only guy who really seems to be getting the job done against Houston?
And here's the thing, too. Say they hit a big play and they get it downside the 10. Okay, it's first and goal at the 8. Was he snapping up his chin strap on the sideline thinking, okay, I'm going in here. Give me the damn ball. I don't think they have that mentality, or does he?
No.
I don't think he expects them to put him in the game at first to go at the eight.
No, not this year.
And they should. I'm not telling you they shouldn't, but, I mean, at some point, let's find out if we can run it. I know I don't like the quarterback on a rollout down there. I don't like him in a shotgun. I think the quarterback would love to hand it four times and stuff it down someone's throat, just like they did in Kansas City. Quarterback looked like he was having fun in Kansas City. Hit a couple third down passes to Edelman, and let's run it down her throat with Burkhead.
Let's get to some of your...
in the Super Bowl. He was having fun handing it off in the Super Bowl. So don't tell me he can't be a game manager and be happy and win that way, because he can.
Some of your calls on the Patriots offense. Dan is in Yarmouth. Hey, Dan.
Hey. Guys, this is a call for Zoe. I just wanted to know your thoughts. Since we're so predictable on offense and we have James White in the game, what are your thoughts on bringing down like a N'Keal Harry to try him at tight end so that that frees up? Right now the linebacker's covering in the tight end, but if we put N'Keal Harry down in the tight end slot, that might free up the D-back to come off James White. I know it's not ideal, but...
I mean, he's physical. He's probably your most physical receiver, but I think he's having a difficult enough time, you know, trying to play receiver than just, hey, let's go put him in another position and have him learn more. Whew. Yeah.
I think you got another call here from Kevin in Hudson. Something for Zoe?
Kevin?
Okay, said he wanted to update you on his trip to Houston. He called in for that. He's been waiting a long time.
Oh, outstanding.
Not there, though, so he hung up.
I can speak with him, sure.
Wants to talk to Zoe about his trip to Houston.
Yeah, if anybody's having trips out there and you're heading places, love to talk to you about it.
Just give Zoe a call. Tell him all about it.
Just give me a call. Love talking to the people.
Tell him if you've ever been on a plane where the slide fell off the side.
We got a good barbecue joint recommendation if you're ever going to Houston. A little ways out of town.
A little bit out there, but...
worth the drive.
Off the Katy Freeway, right?
Horsepower? Horsehead?
What was it?
Jim, do you remember?
Horse something.
I don't think a horse was involved.
Yeah, I think a horse is in the name. Horse and Hound?
Was it Hickory Barn or something like
Hickory
that?
Hickory Barn? Horse Barn? Hayes in the Barn?
No, I think Hickory Barn is right. It is. Hickory Barn. Hickory Barn Barbecue.
Yeah.
But small place. Small place. In a strip mall.
Nice pop and mom joint. Mom and pop joint.
Yeah. A little bit. It is in Houston, but Houston is like four times the state of Rhode Island. So
it's sweet
just because
there.
It's in Houston doesn't mean anything.
You're only a couple of miles from the Sugarland city limits. That's where we were. I'm looking at it right now.
Do you guys get the sweet tea thing? Because I sure as hell don't.
It's so sweet. Yeah, really? Sometimes it's too sweet.
You want to have barbecue and then drink all that sweet tea with all that sugar and ugh. It's not even cold.
617-779-0985. Hardy has headlines. And
you're going to get a hot tea for
Tea, but like they put it in vats in the back of a restaurant. It's not even no ice there. They styrofoam cups.
Yeah, it's the only way it's ever served. Hardy, from a vat with no ice cubes.
Headlines, please.
Warm tea.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
There's no trust on this offense right now. And listen, there's not a trust from play caller to players either. Like Josh McDaniels doesn't know who or what he can trust when he needs some stuff. Think about it 2 weeks ago when they had to beat the Cowboys at home. They went to a trick play in the red zone just to get in, right? There's a lack of trust on this football team from coach to go, all right, I trust this scheme or I trust this guy outside of Edelman and then Brady to his receivers. He doesn't trust guys to see things the same way, that they're going to win against coverage. They'll have the same feel that he can rely on them. And we can, the physical stuff is there, but the Patriots and Tom Brady have always had people that they can trust. They've always had stuff that they can trust. We're here December 3rd. They don't have anything or anyone outside of Julian Edelman that they can trust on offense.
More of the same from Dan Orlovsky. He had a Twitter video the other night. Zoe, you had watched that video. You said it was a pretty good breakdown.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good breakdown because obviously Dorsett misses the call, and you see the frustration with Brady and McDaniels on the sideline. He's like, I gave him the double pump. Like, I'm done. What do you want me to do? He didn't get it. He goes, he didn't get it. You can read his lips. And there's even a better one here. There's been a lot of talk of, you know, the misfire to Dorsett in the back of the end zone. where he kind of pops open there. He was there. Okay, then, wow, how could Brady miss him like that? I just retweeted Brian Baldinger's breakdown from NFL Network. Does a fantastic breakdown on it because they motion Edelman down into Tripp's bunch to the right. They end up doubling Edelman, in and out in him. They double Lacoste, which means it's one-on-one man with Dorsett running an in-cut. And at the last second, when Brady's delivering the ball, Dorsett pulls up right under the goalpost. Brady expects him to keep continuing because it's man to the back corner. Now, there's an opportunity. We keep saying, okay, guys aren't open, guys aren't open. There's a point where a guy's open, but there's a miscommunication on, is he settling or is he continuing? And it's hard when you're releasing that ball and you're anticipating, and a guy settles. It really looks like a bad misfire. Can they fix that? That's the execution thing where Bill says, we had opportunities. There are plays there. We didn't execute. If they could fix that type of stuff and get on the same page there, and that's a red zone play, Beetle, then with this group, you may have enough to function, manage it, play good defense and special teams, and win games. I just retweeted it. You can check it out on my Twitter, at Scott Zolak. It's a good breakdown by Baldy.
617-779-0985. Sean is in Brockton on the Patriots offense. Hey, Sean.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey.
So, listen, I was looking, really focusing on the Patriots and evolution of the offense, especially when we're talking about last year and how after that Pittsburgh game, we really started to focus on the run and using fullback. Now, I know we don't have a fullback to speak of. I don't know why that is. It bothers the hell out of me that you get guys like Aaron Ripkowski or you have, you know, Tommy Bohannon, guys that are more than functional and can do the job. You know, I'd love to see them get out there and do that. But one thing that I've noticed since Isaiah Wynn returned, I noticed on the second play of the game, he fired off the line, got second level, sealed the linebacker. We got like an 11-yard run by Sony. That's something that the turnstile could never have done. You know, all he did was take tickets, talking about
who's the turnstile?
The guy that was playing left tackle. I don't even want to say his name.
Oh, Isaiah Wynn.
No, not Isaiah Wynn. What's his name? The Newhouse.
Ticket taker from the movie.
Ticket taker.
But he got second level. Now, the other thing that I noticed the other night is that Fat on the athletic terrace got hurt, and now we put in Ference. And I agree with Zoe that I think Ference can do the job, and I like the fact that Ference has some athletic ability and he can get second level. He might get a little overpowered in pass rush, and that's a problem because of, you know, Brady needs to be able to step up.
Okay, my question for Sean and everybody else, and for the Patriots really, would be, so if Ference is in there and now you've got Isaiah Wynn back, when are you going to run?
Yeah, it's getting rhythm.
When are you going to trust him?
Let's start developing rapport up front.
What does it matter?
It's critical to have that chemistry, that continuity up front.
That's what I'd say. Like, okay, great. If Sean views it as an upgrade and it's going in the right direction for him, that's wonderful. But they've got to use it. They've got to be willing to use it. And right now you've got Tom Brady as one of the leaders in the NFL in pass attempts. They've thrown the football a ton this year, they have tried to. And they got away from the run.
And Ference said this call from a protection standpoint. He did initially when he first got in the game. And he and Brady got together on a solid. And I think they figured some stuff out. And after that, Ference was pretty damn good, pretty stout in the middle. Man, that's when Brady was able to sit there and hit some of the deeper stuff, and they sort of got in that little rhythm late in the game there.
Christian Arcand, our very own Christian Arcand, with an interesting tweet today. Top five passing attempts in the NFL. Tom Brady ranks number one in the league in passing attempts with 486. Jameis Winston is second with 467. Goff is third. Matt Ryan is fourth. Dak Prescott is fifth.
Those are all losing teams.
They're not good. They're not
good teams.
If you're in the category of Winston and Goff, that's not a good place to be.
Right.
So that's one thing, passing attempts. How about this? Bottom five in the league completion percentage. Brady ranks 29th. The only guys trailing Tom Brady in completion percentage are Gardner Minshew, Andy Dalton, Jameis Winston, and Baker Mayfield. Those are the guys he's in the category with.
Yep.
So not only is Tom Brady a top five guy in passing attempts, as is Jameis Winston, but both of those guys are in the bottom five in the league in completion percentage.
Yeah.
Not good.
Not good.
And that's a lot of missed incomplete passes that Tom Brady has thrown this year. Chris is in Hartford. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Hey. How you doing?
Hey, listen, Zoe, this is really in your wheelhouse.
Yeah.
And this is something that, you know, just has jumped out at me. And I think maybe Belichick is doing it for a reason. The Patriots and Brady, you know, I love Brady. But the thing is, he has not gone ahead and got the ball out of his hands, like, to Edelman on the outside. You know, they'll step back 1 yard, catch it, and then run. And that was one of the things Belichick did, was he got his wide receivers as blockers. The screen pass is not there. The question to you is, are we holding that back? Because we're playing teams that we're going to be seeing in the AFC, because Brady, a lot of those attempts, the guys catch the ball, they run after catch,
yeah.
And that padded a lot of his stats for many, many years. That is something that I think that we definitely need to do. And the second question, is it because of the offensive line has to play it off, so?
Yeah, that's a good question. You remember, even going back to, you know, Trent Brown, the best thing about Trent Brown at 6'8", 360 pounds, was he could move his feet. He's athletic, right? You know, he had long arms. And when they would run that slip screen, he's the first guy to release down. So he's the first kickout guy. And he would basically just morph the corner, just absolutely absorb him. And he'd kick it inside, and you're off and running, and it's David Andrews behind him. So it's bang, bang. It's like, corner goes out. I mean, tackle goes out. You cut the corner. Here comes the center around the guard. He pops up on the backer. Now you got to make a man miss, right?
Make just a man miss.
Just like Cam says, make a man, got to make a man miss. And then Edelman or, you know, Amendola or Hogan or even Cordarrelle Patterson, you know, you're up and running. You got 9 yards quickly like that. You don't have personnel up front to do that right now. And that is part of the overall problem of everything, right? Because you really don't have your full allotment. A play call. It's like, we want to run that. We can't. Yeah, you want to pull Karras out? Yeah. Hey, maybe you could do it with Ferentz. You might see some of that. Maybe you could do it now with Wynn being back. It's a good call.
617-779-0985. Zoe, have you seen some of these snow totals?
I did. Franklin got 13 right next to me.
Well, that's what I'm looking at. But
I told you guys, I'm always in jackpot area there. I think so. I got 12.
I'm looking at the snow totals.
Dog couldn't even pee
on
today.
On the weather, you know, the official National Weather Service site, I'm sort of blown away. This was updated at 12:07 earlier this hour.
What do we got?
I'll tell you what Wrentham got compared to Franklin, which is the next town over, right?
Yeah.
That's the next town over from you.
Yeah.
It's a drastic difference, Scott and Wrentham. I'll tell you about
it. You got all the towns?
Yeah, I got all the towns from the National Weather Service. I'll tell you
what it
is next.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Just like the ones I used to know.
Zolak and Bertrand, you're on the Sports Hub. I'm with Hardy in the Town Fair Tire Studio. Zoe is at Gillette Stadium today. Where, according to the National Weather Service's website, the town of Foxborough today got a total of 8.5 inches of snow.
Whew!
8.5. Franklin got 13, as you mentioned. Walpole with 9. And then there's this. It has Wrentham listed as having 1 inch of snow.
Oh, you're full of crap.
Oh, you know what, though? I'm looking at it, Zoe. It hasn't been updated. Oh, I just figured this out. I'm sorry. I just figured that out.
Yes.
Idiot.
They haven't updated it. It has a time listed. I'm like, how could this?
For you.
I was stunned by this because the top of the page, it says last updated at 12:07 p.m. today. And I'm like, oh, these are all updated. Sorry, they haven't updated that particular total.
Yeah, we call it the snow corridor. It's a Bellingham, Franklin, and us. Wrentham, Norfolk, usually get all the same.
Is that what you call it?
Yeah, snow corridor.
You didn't get the most, though. Not even close.
No.
Out in the middle
of the
state.
We probably got 8 to 10.
Fitchburg got 25 inches of snow.
Where the hell's Fitchburg?
Out on Route 2.
Northwest.
Oh, that's where Wiggy lives.
No.
I don't think so at all. But
yeah, I think he lives in Route 2 in Fitchburg.
No, he definitely doesn't. I know where he lives, and it's not there. Lunenburg, 23. Winchendon, 25 Germantown, inches.
Nice.
They got 25.
Wow.
Yeah.
Me too with
Franklin, 13.
That ain't Milton.
Hopkinton, 12 and a half. Logan got 4.3. 4.3 inches of snow at Logan. That's about what we got here at the Town Fair Tire Studios.
So what did Canton have?
I'll tell you. If you give me a moment, I'll give you an update on that.
By the way, upset of the day comes from Canton, Massachusetts, where the pool children, I am looking on the Ring Video doorbell app right now, are shoveling the driveway.
Get out of here.
As of 6 minutes ago, they were.
And my kid is too.
I'm seeing 14.5 inches in Canton.
Oh.
Does that make sense?
Brody's doing the back deck to get paid. I told him I'd pay him.
Yeah. Oh, wait. That might be Canton, Connecticut. There's a Canton, Connecticut?
Do you know how to read that thing?
Look at this page, right?
Jesus, Beetle.
It's wild. Look at how many different towns that are listed. I just searched for Canton. Look at all this. It's a volume of information. Sorry, you put me on the spot. I tried to help.
You know, it's funny. I was looking last night at the, I believe it was like one of the CDC websites to see what the Lyme cases
CDs?
Were in each county.
Are you going to tell people about this now or what?
I think we already talked about it on the crossover.
We did?
Yeah.
Hardy has a tick.
I had a tick.
I talked to him last night about it.
It's since been removed. He doesn't know how long he's had the tick.
It was on my leg. May have been there.
He keeps going in the bathroom and checking his wound.
He should.
It's bad. It hurts.
He's in there. He's checking it. He's squeezing it. He's poking at it.
No, it's too tender. I'm not doing anything with it right now. Give the doctor full clearance to do all that in about an hour and a half from now.
What do they do in this situation now? They're just going to treat you with antibiotics.
Well,
what else can they do?
I took a massive dose last night, and I'm going in there today. What I want them to do is to get around there and poke around a little bit. You know me.
Suck the venom out? You know?
Something.
Like, what do you think there is? This isn't a snake bite.
Tick juice? I don't know. Something in there. I don't want the Lyme. I got to trying to knock out the Lyme before it happens. But I
listen, you've already hosted the tick. Right?
Correct.
I mean,
correct.
He's already come for the
Lyme.
Party.
My sister's has Lyme. It's not fun.
No, but.
And I never had the tick.
He's
bite.
Already pumped his tick juice right into your bloodstream.
Where you put your tick juice?
Listen.
You suck your tick juice out.
This is part of the stigma of people who have Lyme disease, and I'm getting used to it now. I'll be attending a retreat this weekend.
The stigma? What are you talking about?
People like to make fun. They don't understand the disease. I'm bringing awareness.
It's horrible. What are you talking about?
I'm bringing awareness to it.
You don't know you have it.
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure I do.
I saw a picture of the wound of before
Put
the tick
on TV.
Was. No, we're not going to do that. Before it was removed, and I'm now not convinced that he's got it. I think he might be in the clear. He might be one of the lucky ones. He might be one of the lucky ones that got a tick bite and doesn't end up with Lyme.
You're going to put you're going to drill your wife's finger and put that on TV, but you won't put a picture of your tick bite?
Lyme disease is horrible. That can ruin your life.
I was trying to show it to the people. I was trying to show it to the people at BST last night, and there was one of two reactions to both that and the fingernail drilling.
They you either party there, huh?
Oh, let me see, or people immediately just turn and walk.
Oh,
in the
you
other
know
direction.
Which camp zone I are in. Always, yeah, let me see.
Right.
Always. Want to get a good look at it. Make an assessment.
You know what you got to do? You gotta let a hair get infected on your back and get one of them big fat boils. Then show them up there. They won't ever want to see anything again.
I am also currently organizing the Rob Hardy Pool Beasley Broadcasting Tick Bite Lyme Disease Awareness Fun Run Race for the Cure, which will be taking
there?
Place.
Can
here.
You imagine this? Hardy doesn't know if he has it yet, and he's already making fun of it.
By the way, he's
trying to poke fun like Michael Scott did with rabies, and I know exactly what he's doing.
Yes.
T-Bone tells us there's a Lyme Disease Awareness Month. When is that? Probably
month of May.
Springtime, right? When they start coming back out.
Well, there's come out, man. You know, I have my yard sprayed extra.
As part of the awareness. I have mine sprayed, too. Oh, by the way, I got on the sprayer guy today. I sent him a picture of the photo. Bang-up job. Thanks a lot.
But what, do you got protected woods by your house?
When was the last time you got sprayed?
It's been a couple of months. He said, dude, thanks. This will get me to tell all my customers they need year-round spraying. Yep. I'm like, oh, I'm glad I could help.
See, I call Matt Light when I have deer. He takes care of them.
A deer? You had a deer?
No, we have multiple deer. They eat the berries off the trees in our backyard. It's pretty in the winter, but then you think, wow.
No, ha, ha, ha. that is one of the ways to cut down on the ticks that can give you Lyme disease.
Yeah, but if you have a deer, there's going to be other deer running through your yard at some point.
Not if you call Matt.
And if you're right there in those woods that have ticks, you're going to have ticks.
Light. The lady next door gets all pissed off. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Matt Light went out and shot the deer. But
No, he blew a head off a turkey with an arrow.
What does it have to do with the ticks, may I ask?
Now, he removes things. He's like the wolf.
He's like Winston Wolf.
Yeah. He shows up with his truck and his handcuffs on his gun rack, and he removes things.
He's the Winston Wolf of Massachusetts, Rhode Island border towns.
JR in Woburn has news for Hardy on his tick. What do you have, JR?
All right. I'm curious to know about the size of this tick, because unless Zoe was like 4 or 5 inches away, a deer tick is size is just a tip of like a pencil tip.
Yeah,
you probably saw a normal tick.
No.
It's a normal tick,
no.
Which is Rocky Mountain spotted fever.
Ooh. Oh, great.
That one's painful, too.
I had bed sweats.
I had shakes. I had numbness.
Hold on. So what makes you think it was a normal tick, JR?
Because that's most of the ticks around here. It's a common misconception all around. A deer tick is like 10 times smaller than a normal tick. They're two completely different sizes. So if Zoe saw it on his leg, I assume Zoe wasn't crawling around on the ground.
No, I did not see mine. Oh, okay, Hardy saw support his. Your point
Hardy can see his. It's clearly visible,
and it's
clearly a tick.
Hardy's tick bite is bigger.
It's about the size of a freckle.
Rocky Mountain spotted fever. It's not going to be Lyme disease. It'll be Rocky Mountain spotted fever.
What does that mean?
What you get from
Rocky Mountain high.
That's the name of the fever. The disease, or that's not a disease. It's a fever that you get from a normal tick. You only get Lyme disease from a deer tick, which is incredibly hard to see because they're so small. You can see them with the naked eye, but they're very small.
This is why. Well, I never saw my bite, and it went undetected.
And maybe this is why this thing was on my leg for 4 days, and I never saw it.
I don't know, Hardy. Yours looks of decent size.
Maybe because it sucks so much blood out of me.
Well, no, but it's clearly visible.
It's the size of a freckle.
It's the size of a freckle. It's good size.
Hardy, scout ever get one on its neck? And that thing swells up like a grape. You could pop it. It's got a different tick. It's not a deer tick.
It has a very flat body to it. Does it not?
It's big. It looks like a beetle almost. Beetle.
I'm just looking at a picture of it again right now. It's pretty small. Dude, you saw it. It's small.
Hardy. It didn't swell up like a balloon, like it sucked the blood. Like a dog tick.
No, it wasn't like a dog tick. And scouts never have one.
You pulled those right off.
My other dogs have. And those you can practically pull off with your fingers.
Hmm.
So is that guy still on?
No.
With the Rocky Mountain spotted fever?
No.
Do I have to combine my fun run for the cure now and include that? Which one do I want? You don't want either one, but
when you're going to have a focus group over your house, if you're going to have.
I think my mother had Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Should we get my mom on the phone?
I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lady.
I think, we should.
All right. Because I haven't
called her.
I don't want to.
Fred does his stuff. Why not? Fred puts family members on.
I don't want to give bad medical news until it's been confirmed by the doctor.
Hey, it's Felger here. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Teams are knocking on the door of the conference finals, and DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason heats up. It's super easy to get started with DraftKings if you're a first-timer. Try betting on something simple like your team to win. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, select your team, and place your first bet. It's that simple. And if you're new to DraftKings, just check this out. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You have to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code SPORTSHUB. Again, new customers get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5 only on DraftKings. The crown is yours, and you must use code SPORTSHUB to get in on the action.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketballterms.